with this message tonight, basking in the love of God, I want to read to you the verse here in Jude, and that's verse 21. The Bible says, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, we understand tonight that we are kept. We are kept. I'm so thankful for the salvation that we have, and that we are kept by the power of the Lord. We are kept. But yet this verse says, keeping yourselves in the love of God. And so that's the reason we've titled the message, Basking in the Love of God, because it requires us to fellowship. It requires us to spend time with Him. It requires us. So let's pray and we'll get into the message. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for each one that's here. We do pray for those that are facing surgery this week. We, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to pray and to lift up our voices to you. And now, Lord, just pray that you'll meet needs tonight. You meet needs in our heart. And Lord, may we search our hearts as you reveal the truth to us. And Lord, we do pray if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, will you speak to that heart and cause them to realize how important salvation is. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing that I think of when I think of basking is when you go fishing. And I haven't gone, I don't think I've gone yet this year, and I don't know what's happened, but I haven't really had time to go. But one of the things that I do is when you try to go fishing, a lot of times when it starts getting warm, you see these turtles. And what the turtles will do is they'll go up on a limb that is hanging over the water, and they will, you know, you can see as many as 10 or 12 on one limb. And so you can see them basking in the sun, and they're warming themselves up. They're drying out. And of course, as soon as you get close to them, they drop back in the water. And then as soon as you get away from them, they start crawling back on. And so that's the first thing I think of when I think of the word basking. And that is just kind of allowing the sun to, penetrate, allowing the sun to warm. And so I want to think on this thought, and this is the first part of this message and taken from this verse, and that is this. Basking is keeping close to God. Keeping close to God and not getting tangled up with false teaching. There's a lot of false teaching out in the world today, and we shared a little of that this morning in the message as far as people having the ideas of everything is the same as long as you believe something. But we know that that is not true. We know the only truth is Jesus Christ and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, here we think about, here in Jude, we think about keeping close to God. Keeping close to God. How can we do that? Well, it's basking in the love of God. And that is where we keep yourselves. In other words, choosing to stay close to the Lord. Now, we know that we can be saved, and you know individuals, and I know individuals, and maybe you have been guilty about this in your life, but we know that we're saved. But sometimes we start drifting a little bit. We allow the cares of this life, we allow circumstances, and I can give you different testimonies of individuals. And even when I was a lot younger, in my teenage years, I can give you my own testimony that you've heard several times, but how that just things can become a distraction. Things can become a hindrance. And I'm still a firm believer, and I did mention it this morning, and I'll mention it again tonight. I believe that Satan has got his tools out of his tool belt to try to disturb a believer, to try to hinder a believer, to try to distract a believer, to try to disrupt what we have in Jesus. Now, we know tonight that he cannot take our salvation. We know that, and we're thankful for that, and we're grateful for that. But it doesn't mean that he can't disturb us and distract us to the point to where we are not basking. We're not basking in the love of the Lord. So when I think of that, keeping yourselves in the love of God, then I just want to give you a few thoughts tonight, and we won't read all these verses, but we'll read a few of them. And that is, one, how can we bask? How can we soak up, if you will? How can we soak up as we bask? How can we soak up in the love of God? Well, the first thing we need to do is remember, as we're basking, we're not bringing glory to ourselves, but we're bringing glory to the Lord, and that is the fact that he loved us. He loved us. You'll never have anyone love you as much as the Lord loves you. You'll never have anyone care for you as much as the Lord cares for you. We see his love for us in Jeremiah 31:3. We see his care for us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And the other thing is that the fact that he understands us. He understands, and that is in Hebrews 4:15. You know, it's wonderful to be understood. When you talk to someone, and maybe you're sharing your heart with someone, and when you have someone that's really paying attention, and they say, "I understand, I understand." Sometimes we can be sharing our heart with someone, and they'll kind of interject and say, "Well, this is what I did, and this is how, you know," and then they kind of twist the conversation to themselves. But when I say the Lord understands us and understands our needs, he does. He understands everything about us. He understands. And so we can bask in that. We can bask in the fact that he loves us. He cares for us. He understands us. And he's willing to help us. Help is always near. Psalm 46:1. And then he paid the ultimate price for us. John 15:13. He paid the ultimate price for us. Well, if we don't do anything else, we can bask in those five things. Giving him the glory. Giving him the praise. Giving him what he's due when it comes to our relationship with him, and basking, because we're basking in his love, but we're not basking. You see, we don't have to worry about him loving us anymore, because he loves us. Not more, but he loves us as we are, and he loves us. You know, the amazing thing is, he loves us, everyone, equally. That's a blessing. That's a blessing to know that he loves every one of us equally. There's not a stair step. Well, I want to get to stair five or stair six or whatever the case may be. But I'm glad that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And we have that love. And so we're basking in the love of God. And so this evening, I want to give you just a few thoughts as the first part of this message. And that is this. As we're thinking about basking in the love, as we're soaking up in the love of the Lord, as we're spending time and we're not allowing anything else to hinder us, the first thing we think of, he did for me what no one else could do. He did for me what no one else could do. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and following, verse 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, and this is it, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." And so when we think about those verses, we get the realization of this. No one could love me, or no one could do for me what he has done. No one could do for me what he has done. No one could ever repeat what he did. You see, he did that because he loves us. You see, that's where we're basking in the love. And as I mentioned before, there was a lot of false teaching going on. There was a lot of false ideas, and there was a false approach. But I'm glad tonight that we can focus on him. I'm glad tonight that we can focus on that no one else could do for me what he did. You know, it's a joy to be saved. It's a joy tonight to know where we're headed. It's a joy. Now, you know, when I think of joy, I think of the fact that, you know, we're... there's going to be times in our life that we're more joyful than others. There's going to be times in our life that we are, that we're smiling and that we're happy and so on. And I realize in this life that we may not be happy every day, but we should be joyful every day. We should be joyful for what he's done for us. You can take a person, you can take a person to church, but you can't save them. Only the Lord can save them. Only the Lord can save them, but you can't save them. No one else can save you but Jesus. No one else can save you but Jesus. So salvation is something that God does for us, not what we do for ourselves. He does for us, but no, not what we can do for ourselves, or even not what we can do for others. You know, when I had that person... invite me to church when I was a teenager. You know, as I mentioned before, I was raised in a Christian home, but I wasn't saved. And somebody that I went to school with, I actually saw him a few weeks ago. We were eating breakfast one morning, and on a Saturday morning, and I saw him. And as soon as I saw him, I remembered he invited me to church. And it wasn't a few weeks later that I came to know Jesus. He didn't save me, but Jesus did. And so that's where we're basking in what the Lord can do for us that no one else can do. And so I call that precious. Precious. And so number two, he gives me what no one else can give. He gives me what no one else can give. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." You see, we are blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, when you grow up, and you as parents and you as children, as you, your own parents, your parents try to provide. They do their best. They try to provide with clothes. They try to provide with food. They try to provide with needs as you're growing up. But those things are temporal. Those things are temporary. You know, things come and go. The material things in life come and go. My parents gave me what they could as I was growing up. But they couldn't give me the peace that Jesus gives. They couldn't give me the joy that the Lord gives. He gives us more than earthly things. I jotted down just a few things as we're thinking about basking in the love of God. I jotted down a few things, and I believe that you would agree. You might even add some things to it, but I jotted down some things that he gives us. The first thing he gives us is hope. Hope. The world doesn't offer much hope. You know, they can have their ideas and they can have their thoughts, and they can say, well, if you try this, you can have hope and this, that, and the other. But they don't give us the hope that the Lord gives. So he gives us hope. He also gives us peace. You know, we can have peace talks and you can have peace meetings. And when you're growing up and you're arguing with your brothers and sisters and the parents just want some peace in the house, and they say, hey, y'all need to straighten up. Y'all need to straighten up. Look, You that have brothers and sisters probably know that that peace is short-lived. Doesn't last long. Might last a few hours, which is a blessing to your parents, but it doesn't last forever. Do you realize the peace that He gives us is forever? The peace He gives us is forever. What about security? Security. You know, we can have all kinds of security, and we can have all kinds of protection, and we can have all kinds of things. But at the right moment, at the right time, and all those things, someone could harm us. But I can say you tonight, no one can have us. What we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, no one can take away. And although someone might take your life, they can't take your soul. They can't take, you know, Satan will try to do all kinds of things, and Satan will try to attack in so many ways, but he can't have you. We're kept. We're secure in Jesus. And so we think of hope, we think of peace, we think of security, and we think of the home in heaven. None of us have ever seen this place. We read about the Bible, we read Psalm 23. We read in the book of John about the place that's prepared for us. And we can only imagine what heaven's going to be like. But you know, and I know, some folks that were sitting in these same pews are in the presence of Jesus right now. They're in the presence of Jesus right now. And they're in heaven. Not worried about the cares of this life, not worried about the things of this world, but they are experiencing what we're talking about tonight. They are experiencing. You know, when we lay our head down tonight, and when we, well, even at this moment, there's people that's made the choice for Jesus, and they're in heaven. But just as equally, there's people that said no to Jesus that are in hell right now. No relief. No comfort. Jesus gives us that peace. He gives us that peace. He gives us that hope. He gives us that security. He gives us heaven. He also gives us salvation. Because salvation was orchestrated from heaven. Salvation is the only means of our way of getting to heaven. Salvation is the only hope that man has today, is the hope in Jesus Christ. He gives us comfort. Comfort. We've experienced times in our life to where we're heavy-hearted about something, or we're having some difficulties and having some, you know, problems, and you pray and you just get overshadowed by the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart and giving you that comfort. You see, that's what He gives to us. That's what He gives that no one else can give. No one else can give you that comfort, and no one else can give you that help that He gives. So He gives us more than earthly thing. He provides for us, and He meets our needs, and He does all these things, and we understand that. But the things that I think about is that hope and that peace and that security and heaven, salvation, comfort, and help. You see, that's what He gives that no one else can give. And as we are basking in His love, He gives us the things because we're His children. He gives us these things because of that love. And then number three tonight, He gives us love itself, and He loves us more than anyone else could ever love us. You, as well as myself, down through life, things change. People change. You could have someone that you were acquainted with many years ago, and maybe for whatever reason there was kind of a falling out, and and maybe you don't think quite as highly as you used to with that individual. Do you know something? We don't have to worry about that with the Lord because He loves us. He loves us. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." That everlasting love. "Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Things change. Weather changes. We've had some pretty recent storms and rainfall and devastations, flooding, devastations all around us. Things change. Season changes. We just came out of spring. Now we're in summer, and it's going to be before long. It's going to be fall. And then before long, it's going to be winter. You see, things change around us. The wind changes. You know, the pastor and I can, Pastor Chuck and I can give example of this, that when we do get a chance to go fishing, which ain't very often, then we'll want to fish in one spot, and as soon as we get there, the wind will start blowing, and it'll start blowing in the wrong direction, and you can't hold the boat still, and then you go to another spot thinking, you know, you get there and the wind isn't blowing, and all of a sudden the wind will change direction. I believe the wind's following us, and so the wind changes. But aren't you glad tonight that the love of the Lord doesn't change? The love of the Lord doesn't change. Doesn't change because moods change. It doesn't change because of circumstances change. But His love doesn't change. You see, that's what we're basking in. We're spending time with Him. We're, you know, because there's so many false teachings and there's so many false things that's taking place that try to distract us and try to pull us away. And I'm convinced the closer we stay to Him, the further these false religions are going to be. I was thinking about an example. And I don't hear about it as much as maybe you used to. But back in the day, there was a lot of counterfeit money. And so there would, when you think of counterfeit money, the people who inspect money, as I was reading or heard the example one time, those that inspect the money, they'll say, how do you know the difference? It looks the same. How do you know the difference? How do you know the difference between this bill and this bill? And one person said it kind of like this. You focus on what's real. And then when you focus on what's real, you don't focus on what's artificial, but you focus on what's real, then the artificial will stand out. And that's what we do when we focus on the Lord. We focus on what's real. We focus on that love that is real. We don't focus on this artificial and what was taking place in Jude and all this artificial religion and all these false teachings. We focus on the truth. And He gives us that love that only He can give. And then number four, He knows us better than anyone else. He knows us better than anyone else. Job says, "He knoweth the way I take. He knoweth the way that I take." God knows every attitude. God knows every thought. God knows every desire. God knows everything in our heart. And He knows what we're in need of. He still loves us. He still cares for us. And He still gave His Son that we might be saved. When you really start thinking about what He has done for us, all the other problems in life just don't seem to be quite as heavy when we start basking in His love. When we start basking in His love and how much He loves us. You know, when troubles come to our life, He knows all about it. When problems come, He knows all about it. When people might hurt you, He knows all about it. When there's health issues, He knows all about it. When we get discouraged, He knows all about it. There's nothing that He doesn't know. Basking in His love. Number five tonight, He will take me where no one else can take me. When you're growing up, one of the first times that I ever went to the beach fishing, I went with my dad and I was in third grade. And I went with some friends and that we were up in the mountains. We were living in Greensboro at the time. And the first vacation I ever went on when it comes to a fishing trip like that at the beach. And it was in the late fall of the year and the fish were biting. And we rode in a station wagon. There were three boys and my dad and my dad's friend, and there were three boys. And we went. And we didn't have a motel or anything. We slept in the station wagon. And that was interesting. And we stayed there and we fished all day, spent the night in the station wagon, and drove back the next day. And to be honest with you, I don't even remember how many fish we caught. But that was an experience. But we relied on my father and his friend to take us. We relied on that. None of us could drive, and we were young, wouldn't know how to get there if we tried. And we relied on him. Do you realize that he takes me to a place that I can't take myself, and that's called a place called heaven. A place called heaven. That's one thing that we don't have to worry about tonight if we're saved. Heaven is going to be our home. John chapter 14 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Notice what it says. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Notice that where I am, there ye may be also. He's going to take us to a place that only He can take us. That only He can take us. You see, He knows when the time's going to be. And when He's ready for you, He's going to take you. But if you're still here tonight, then He's not ready for you. But one day, He's going to be ready. Whether it be through the rapture, or whether it be through death, we're going to a better place. So as we're thinking about this tonight, I read to you this verse again. "But ye, beloved, build yourselves up on the most high faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Verse 20 and verse 21 says, "Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Look, He's done everything for us. He's given us hope. He's given us peace. He's given us life. It's important that we stay close to Him and that we bask in the love of our Lord. Basking in the love of God. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank You for this time together. And although there's many distractions and there's many things that seem to try to draw our attention, May we allow the things that you've revealed to us keep us close to you, loving you more, basking in your love. Father, we know that there's a lot of things out there that draws people away, that distracts, that pulls. Help us, Lord, to make that choice. And we make that determination that I'm going to bask in the love of God. Help us to do that tonight. Father, if there's a need tonight, I pray, Lord, that they'll come. Speak to hearts. And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.